Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Miracle Man Show here on this Wednesday, April 17th of 2019. Hard to believe that we're already halfway through April. April's kind of going by kind of fast, especially compared to the other 3 months, which is kind of a surprise to me how fast it's going by, but it's moving by. And before you know it, spring's going to be here. And by the way, when I was coming in here to McDonald's, it was thundering outside. Yep, I said it was thundering outside. And I don't know about you folks, but I like a good thunderstorm. To each his own, however, I will have to say. To each his own. They're not exactly for everybody. They really are not. So, you know, just want to keep that in mind, folks. You just want to keep that in mind. So, tonight, I'm going to do a little business, but I'm going to try to get into the Word a little bit sooner because there's some stuff in there about Jesus shedding his blood that I didn't quite get to last night. In addition, I wanted to share with you the 7 sayings of Jesus. Those are the things Jesus said, the 7 sayings that Jesus said when he was up there on that cross for us. So, I'm going to share that with you, listeners. And then I'm going to sing a song, and we're going to talk some sports. Let me think here. So, I wanted to let you know something. Looks like I'll be going to Cedar Point in about a month. Do you like Cedar Point, Jesse, or no?
I do. I love
you. Oh, yeah, buddy. That's like one of my dream places here on Earth is Cedar Point. I don't mean like as a city necessarily, but like as a place to be at. Cedar Point would be right up there, I think. No, it's not because it's in that certain state to the south. By the way, Jesse, I try to not mention that state by name because for example, we got a lot of people listening to the show that might be Michigan Wolverine fans, and we hate playing and most of them hate that team down south when we have to play them right after Thanksgiving, right? I have a little bit different views personally than many of them, so I just try to be a little bit careful, you know? Because personally, as you can kind of tell, I love that state to the south, and a lot of them, at least when it comes to football, might not like it at all, you know? Yep. Whereas, I'm kind of proud of what that team has accomplished.
Yeah, you definitely should be.
That team, not Michigan, that other team.
Yeah, they have a lot to be proud of, though.
Yep, they do. And no, I'm not talking about Michigan State either, by the way, folks. But I do.
They're great too, though.
Yep, I still would like to see us, Michigan, beat them, beat that team a bit more. I really would, because I like both. It's not like I love that team and I don't like Michigan. I like both, but I like that team to the south a little bit better. I do. Part of it might be that I like that state a little bit better, and I think there's other factors too, to be honest with you. And I don't know all what they are, but might have to do with all the frustration I've had to face as being a Michigan fan, maybe. So I've just kind of switched over. But I've always liked MSU and Michigan State, though. I always have. Really. I've never been the guy that liked one and did not like the other. Never. But just to say, I will I'll possibly be going to Cedar Point in like a month and a half or so. I'm probably going to be going at some point this summer. I don't know for sure if it's going to be in a month and a half or at a different time, but I'm pretty sure I'll. Jesse, did you ride that new coaster yet? The new one that they opened last year, the Steel Vengeance?
Nope, I have not been there in. Well, this will be going on the third summer.
I haven't even seen it yet. I go every summer.
Every summer?
Yep.
Oh, wow, you really do love it.
Yep, big time, man. To me, it's kind of like go big or go home.
Oh, yeah.
Because that someone I go, it's like. And by the way, I listed a couple weeks ago on the show what I think the best ones are, in no particular order, because with some of them, it gets really hard if you go on a certain order, because it'll be too easy to say that one's my favorite. And then you'll say that one's my favorite. And then you'll say that one's my favorite. I think many of us have a number one favorite. But then the number two in that really gets hard, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you have a number one, really, or is that too hard, too? That's too hard?
I think that's too hard because I've been on all of them except for the Top Thrill Dragster.
Except for the Top Thrill Dragster? You got to get on that thing.
I know, last time I was there, every time we walked by it, it was broke down, so I didn't get to go on it. I tried.
The pain.
Yeah.
Because I've been on it every time but once, believe
really?
It or not.
You're
yep.
Lucky. I'm definitely going to have to try it.
You have to. There's no if. You got to.
I agree.
You got to go on that thing, because that thing is like heaven. It's short, but it's worth the line you'll wait in and everything else.
Yeah, it is.
Like, there, even though it's the shortest, like the Millennium Force is awesome, but it might not quite have the same adrenaline rush.
That is a good one.
It is a good one. The Magnum is great. The Maverick is awesome. There's a lot of good ones.
Kind of are standing up in.
The Mantis one.
Yeah.
They renamed it and rebranded it though.
Oh. Okay.
It's now a sit down and it's called Ruguru.
Oh, okay. I
didn't
know that.
It's still good, but I think it when it got redone, it was kind of scaled back maybe a tad bit, but.
Oh, you think so?
Still really good though. Still really good. It still is one of the good ones, but at least it's not as bad as the Gatekeeper. Because the Gatekeeper is a little lacking, I feel like.
I don't remember. Which one is that?
The one right in front of the gate.
Oh.
Thus the name Gatekeeper.
Oh, yep, that makes sense. I would have thought about that.
And that one is kind of a little bit lackluster, isn't it?
I agree with that.
Because they said they wanted it to be a statement that you're in the roller coaster capital of the world, yet it's lackluster.
Yeah, it doesn't make much of a statement.
To me, really, it should be, you know what really should be at that gate? The dragster.
Yeah.
That should be, I feel like in a way, though, that might scare some people away, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Or the people that love the adrenaline rush, telling them what they're walking into.
Oh, yeah. Because when you see the gatekeeper like that, it makes you think maybe it's pretty good, but maybe there's somewhere better. But I don't know that there is roller coaster wise. There might be somewhere, maybe, and it's kind of a hidden gem, but
yeah.
that I know of, that I've personally been to.
I think it's
the best one.
Have you ever been to a Six
Flags? No.
Me either. I was going to ask if you thought it was Cedar Point.
There's several of them. I have not been to one. That's why I cannot judge the answer and say yes or no as to whether or not it's as good as Cedar Point. One thing to think about, listeners, is it doesn't have as Cedar Point has more roller coasters than anyone else here in America. So they got that covered. They have six that are 200 foot plus, and 2020 is coming up, and that's the 150th anniversary. I'm hearing rumors that there could be a very, very big one next summer. I don't think they'll leak it until August, because that's usually when they leak a lot of their new stuff like that, August or September. So we'll have to get through most of the season in order to find out. But I'm hopeful for something big for next year. I really am hopeful for something really big. I really am. All righty. So, I want to let you know, folks, I'm at McDonald's here at 1711 South Saginaw. I am northwest of an Admiral gas station and southeast of a Disability Network of Mid-Michigan office. So that is where I am. That's where I said it. So just like I said, that's exactly where I is. Like I said, we're across the road from a Kmart, and I'm kind of near the front of the restaurant, so if you want to come in and say hi to me, you're more than welcome to. I also wanted to let you know that Coca-Cola is always the winning soft drink. It never fails. It always wins over Pepsi. Oh, it especially wins over Dr. Pepper, Preacher Man, in case you're listening. My Coke wins over your Dr. Pepper every single time without failing. And it's the best. When Coke's pitching in a baseball game, he'll retire the side, 1, 2, 3. Some of them he'll strike out. Other times, there might be some guys on base, and he's called out, and he's called on to pitch. And but Coke will always get him out. Dr. Pepper, sometimes when Dr. Pepper goes up there to pitch, sometimes he'll get him out. Sometimes he'll end up walking people, loading the bases, allowing base hits. Sometimes he gives up home runs even, unfortunately. He's just kind of a decent pitcher. He has his good days and his bad days. one of those pitchers where sometimes he might even give up a – no, he doesn't give up any grand slams or nothing, but maybe a solo shot or maybe a one guy on base, but none of this 3 or 4 run stuff. Coke always gets them out. If Coke was out up there pitching, he'd always be getting them out. And if he was pitching baseball games, he'd be getting no hitters. He'd be getting no hitters, just like Verlander did once, twice. Only he'd maybe get some more than that. Coca-Cola was a baseball player, if he was a pitcher. So, take that for what it's worth. Coke is the MVP soft drink of baseball and basketball. And by the way, it can be the MVP beverage at your Easter party. The real MVP food might have to be some of that ham sometimes, or maybe sometimes those potatoes, or those rolls. Oh my goodness, those rolls, some of those pies. That's some good stuff right there. By the way, as part of the exhortation, I'm going to give another reminder like I did last night as to what Easter is really about. Okay. Now, listeners, I want to encourage you on something. And I do this all the time. But I just want to make sure that you remember this. It's really important that you tell someone about the show. We believe in God to double the amount of people, listeners, that are listening to the show this year. We are absolutely believing God for that. We believe in God, like I said, to grow our audience. And you can be a part of that by telling people you know about this great radio program. And the number, and here's what you can tell them as to how to be a part. They can go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, that is blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you'll see a search bar, and in the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. Okay, that's Upfront Entertainment. After you do all that, you will see a link that says Live in Large. Go ahead and click on that link, and you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. That'll get you onto the show. And then you'll see another button that says notify button. I mean follow button. What's going to happen after you hit that follow button is you're going to start getting notified as I get ready to do my shows. So next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you'll be getting notified at about 6:15 or so before our 6:30 shows. As we start these shows and we run them until pretty close to 8 o'clock. Never after, because at 8 o'clock exactly the time runs out. But sometimes we run until 1:45, 10:02. Sometimes right up to 8 o'clock on the dot. But it's all good. Praise God. And it's always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smart device. And we really believe that. It's one of the beauties of technology. We have a phone number where you can call in and be a part of this radio program. And the number to call in and to be a part of this program is area code 215 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts and then go ahead and press 1. When you hear the prompt that says, Condor Live Show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through call screener. And then you'll be notified when we get ready to, we'll let you on the air. And you can talk about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political. You call in and you want to talk about something political, we're just going to tell you to pray for those who have authority over you, and then we're going to tell you to vote. As you really should be doing. Other than that, you're free to say what you will. And hopefully we can get some awesome calls tonight. I really hope we can. So, now, we're going to pray. And then, let me just see here. We're going to go to Luke, the 23rd chapter. The 23rd chapter. I'm going to talk again about Jesus shedding his blood, and I want to make sure that I leave nothing hanging. In addition, I'm going to discuss I'm going to tell you the 7 sayings of Jesus. And 3 of them are right here in Luke. And the ones that are here in Luke 23, I'll say something like, that's one of the sayings of Jesus right there. And then there are 3 in John. And then there's 2 in John, 1 in Matthew/Mark, and then 1 exclusively in Matthew. But we're going to pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these listeners who have made the awesome decision to join this radio program tonight, wherever they may be, and however they may be accessing it. I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon these listeners. Your hand is. You're speaking to them. You're showing them. I just thank you that these people come with hearts to receive, ears ready to hear, and that they will understand what this season here, this Holy Week, this Easter time, is all about. Thank you that they'd be able to tell somebody about it. Because people want to know. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you use me, the teacher, tonight. And that you would speak to these people through me. And that you use me as an oracle tonight, Jesus. And Lord, I make my confession over this radio program right now. I thank you that we have finances coming into this program. Thank you that we have sponsors and partners coming on board to help us with this program. Thank you that we have increases in listenership to this program. Lord God, we're believing for this among the listeners doubling this year in the name of Jesus. And most of all, I'm believing, Lord God, for souls to come on board to this radio program and give their life to you, Jesus, to you, God. That's what it's about. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Open your Bibles, please, if you will, to the book of Luke 23. Woo! Praise God, Luke 23. If you come to John's house, then you've went a little bit too far. You just want to turn back a couple pages till you come to get back into Luke's house. And we're going to Luke 23. Now, my pastor, Living Word Dr. Mark T. Barclay, sometimes he'll say, if you have a special edition Mark T. Barclay Bible, it's on page 1,300 and whatever. But if it was Braille, maybe it would say what page number it was, what print page number, at least, and then I'd be able to tell you. And we're getting to the word. We're doing good on time, and I'm just going to say this, even though you shouldn't be doing this not to off the show, but if you're taking medicine, it's 6:57. So we're not doing too bad on time, so this is great. We got a nice amount of time to open the word. And as I said, we're going to Luke 23. We might delve into Luke 22 a little bit too. But we're going to start with Luke 23. And if you're not there, then just go ahead and catch up to me. I'm going to begin reading right now. Then the whole assembly arose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now watch this now. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee, and he has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressed him in an elegant robe, then they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him with your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him, neither has Herod. For he sent him back to us. And as you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him, and then I will release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And I'm just reading. I'm just turning the page. Verse 22 now. For the third time, he spoke to them. What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him. But the loud shouts then insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demands. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked, and surrendered Jesus to their will. Verse 26. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it before Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time has come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the women that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' And if we do those things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When he came to the place called the Skull, also known as Golgotha, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, now watch this. This is one of the sayings. Verse 30, Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And then they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching. And the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and they said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice about him, which read, this is the king of the Jews. All in caps lock, like when I read it last night. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? He said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, and we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. That's saying number two. Today you will be there in paradise. Number one was forgive them, for they know not what they do. Number two, today you will be with me in paradise. Next passage, 44. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. So this is between about noon and 3 o'clock on Friday. So remember that on Friday. Just be thinking about that. Between noon and three. Oh, this was when it was dark. He was getting on that cross. Darkness was on the cover of the whole land until the ninth hour. For the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. No, this was not because of a theater performance, by the way. Verse 46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That's saying number three. When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, surely this was a righteous man. When all the people had gathered to witness this sight, they saw what took place. They beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood distant, waiting for these things. We're going to go back to 22 and read some of 22 now. Because we're going to talk about Jesus shedding his blood. Praise God. Luke 22. the first few verses are where Judas agreed to betray Jesus, and Satan entered into Judas. And I'm just... This was where they were having communion. And I'm just looking around. This is where he prayed on the Mount of Olives. This is where Jesus gets arrested. We're going to begin here. Verse 47. While he was still speaking. Now let's see what he was saying there. Verse 44. And he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. That's one place where Jesus shed his blood, was when he was praying. His sweat was just like drops of blood. When he rose from prayer, and he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausting from sorrow. Why are you sleeping? He asked them. Get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. Verse 47 now. While he was still speaking, a large crowd came up. And the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, should we strike with the swords? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple guards and the elders who had come with him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple court, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns. This is your hour when darkness reigns. Let's turn the page. Verse 54. Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, this man was with him. But he denied it. Woman, I don't know him, he said. That's one denial. A little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them, I am not. Peter replied. Another denial. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about. Three times, and just as he was speaking, a rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word that the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Verse 63. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded Jesus, demanding, prophesy, who hit you? And they said many other insulting things to him. Verse 66 now. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together. And Jesus was led before them. If you are the Christ, they said, tell us. Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. They all asked, are you then the Son of God? He replied, you are right in saying that I am. Then they said, why do we need any more testimony? We've heard it from his own lips. All right. All right. Let's take a look. Got it. So, folks, here we go. Seven sayings that Jesus said. First, I'm going to talk about the five times that Jesus shed his blood. One of them we read about, where Jesus shed, he had drops of blood that fell down to the ground. Another time, Jesus shed blood when he was being beaten. We read about that too, and they were beating him big time. They were beating him and he was bleeding. Then they time three. The whipping post. And he was beaten there. Then They made him drink that blood. And then after that, they put a crown of thorns and they set it on his head. They put a crown of thorns and they set it right there on his head. That would have to hurt so bad, having a crown of thorns set upon your head like that. But every time he bled, every drop of that blood, it bought something for us. It bought salvation. It bought freedom. It bought deliverance. Freedom from sin. From sin, folks. Freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. Don't get that confused. Jesus didn't cry. No, Jesus did not die on the cross so you could go around and stay a sinner for the rest of your life. Jesus died on the cross so that you wouldn't have to kill an animal and do all these crazy sin offerings, fellowship offerings, drink offerings, meat offerings. Chuck Sutton tells me that if Jesus hadn't come, that God would want McDonald's offerings, Big Mac offerings, garlic burger offerings.
Yeah, out the window.
Oh, so that's how you would give the offering to God? Like if you did sin to me, you would have to throw the garlic burger out the window?
If that's what he wanted me to do, Rivers, I would
have to do it. That means I'd have to do the same thing. You couldn't do it for me.
I'd love to see you do that.
Yeah, I'd have to do it because each person, it's their relationship with God, so I'd have to do it for my soul, wouldn't I? You couldn't do it for me, could you?
Oh, I can do it for you.
No, but it wouldn't get to my soul.
No, I can't do that for your own soul. You gotta.
And if it's my soul, it would have to be for me.
Okay.
If it worked, thankfully it doesn't work that way. But I'm just saying, if it did.
I think next time we're at Steak and Shake, then you should actually try that and see how that would work out for you.
Just try to see and be like, just try to think. Maybe it'll reach heaven.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll reach heaven, and maybe it'll be an atonement. Like a Leviticus type atonement type thing, maybe. Yeah, but who knows? But at any rate, folks, at any rate, listeners, Jesus died as the price, and now instead of doing all of that stuff, of the meat offerings, sin offerings, and all that, now we have a blood covenant with God. Now, we can talk directly to God. And we can say, Dear Jesus, I've sinned today. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me. And I repent for what I have done against you, Jesus. And God doesn't just want you to ask him for forgiveness. So that's a start. Jesus wants to see repentance. But he will forgive us if we ask him for forgiveness, as long as we mean business. And he forgets our sins. He'll forget them. And they'll be down on the ocean floor. Also, he died on the cross for our salvation. And this is why, part of why we'll be able to make heaven. Because way back in the olden days, before Jesus came, he died you either went into Abraham's bosom or you went to the holding tank. But when the rapture happens, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and lived for Him, heaven. You'll go to a place called heaven. If, however, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you're not living right, if you're living for the devil instead and doing everything you shouldn't be, hellfire. Hellfire. That's where you'll be forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I don't want you to go there. I want you to make heaven. But Jesus, He died on the cross for our salvation. Also, He died on the cross so we could be delivered. And deliverance has two parts. One part of it is healing in our body. You know, He wants us to be healed. He doesn't want us to be sick. He wants me to be healed of blindness. He wants me to be healed of deafness in my right ear. He wants me to be healed of everything else I'm fighting. He's been so faithful to me all these years, and He's not going to stop now. He's still working on me. And He still heals bodies today. Thank you, Jesus. And also, another part of deliverance is maybe you've been the other part of deliverance comes back from maybe you've been taken maybe you've been abusing some prescriptions. Maybe you've been abusing some painkillers and that. Maybe you've been taking other drugs that you shouldn't be taking, legal or illegal. God wants you to deliver from that. Wants you to be delivered from that. And when you have God, you don't need AA. And when you have God, you don't need he'll rehab you. You got to admit to God, you know. And they can say all they want, you know, about finding that high power. You don't need no. The highest power there is God. Jesus is the highest power there is. So I don't know where they get find this high power from, but. And God will help you get free from and delivered from those substances if you've been taking things you shouldn't be. Maybe it's just you're addicted to video games. Can't get off them. And God can help you with that. But He needs to hear you. Mention that. Because anything you put in front of God is an idol. And idolatry is a sin in the eyes of God. So, if your video games, for example, or whatever else you're into, if they're taking away from your Bible time, that could be a sign that you just need to examine yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself. And Jesus wants to help us with that. And as a result of Jesus dying on the cross, we have a new covenant with Jesus. A new covenant that doesn't have all those crazy offerings that I mentioned a few minutes ago. Yes, you still pay tithes and offerings, but the offerings you give now are like monetary. Or even, you know, you don't have to offer fatted calves and all that crazy stuff anymore. And all that kind of stuff. But every drop of blood that Jesus shed bought something for you and me. Every single one. Now, I read to you 3 of the 7 sayings of Jesus. There are 4 more. I will remind you of all 7, starting first with the ones we read. Number 1. Now, I'm going to get to where that first one was, and I'm going to read right from there. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That was number 1. Number 2. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. That's saying number 2. Actually, this first one that I'm about to mention was number 1. Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time has come. Never nurse, say the mountain, fall on us, still cover us, and reduce those things in the presence of God, and dry. So the men, and they crucified him along with the people. Actually, the first 2 were number 3. Let me just find it real quick. And that number 3 was, into your hands I commit my spirit. Number 4. And these aren't necessarily in order, the other 4 that I'm about to give you, but 1 is I thirst. Another, number 5, my God, why have you forsaken me? Number 6, it is finished. Number 7. Let me just find that last thing real quick. I'll be right back in a second, folks. Sorry. woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. So, in no particular order, I'm gonna say them into the order I had them. Number one. So number one is number 34. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That's number one. Number two. Today you will be with me in paradise. Verse 40. That was number two. Number three. Jesus said this in caps lock. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Number four, our thirst. That was in John. Number five, also in John. Was where he said, it is finished. Number six. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is in Matthew 27 and Mark 15. Number seven. Father, behold your son. And mother, behold your son. Son, behold your father. Those are the seven sayings of Jesus. And some of these are very, 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 very important. Now, let's talk about some of the events. Kind of give a timeline of some of these events that happened this weekend. First of all, we have the Passover. That would have been tomorrow, Thursday. Where they had the Passover and they had communion. This was when Jesus decided to.
Is that enough, honey? Okay.
Thanks, sweetie.
Next up. Next up on Friday.
Yeah, I was just saying, honey, should I be able to take this as the 1 year age?
Yeah.
Next up on Friday, the crucifixion happened. They started doing it early in the morning, Friday morning. Friday afternoon, noon to three, the darkness. After that, he died like Friday afternoon, very late Friday night.
You know,
something like that. And then Saturday, he just. It was when he was put in the tomb, like Saturday morning. Maybe late Friday night. Sunday morning. He arose from that grave. People were coming into that tomb, and they said they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have put him. And then they heard this. Look, and they heard, he is not here. He has risen. And Monday, when I come back, I'm gonna talk to you guys about the resurrection. I spent this week talking about the cross and related things and the Passover because it was before Resurrection Day. On Monday, I'm going to talk about the resurrection because that was after Resurrection Day. And I'm trying, and I'm trying to stay as in order of events as possible. That's why I'm not talking about the resurrection until Monday, listeners. So I just hope you understand that. And I'll be talking about the ascension and what happened there. And then we'll get back into what we've been discussing prior. Let me just check my clock real quick. So, now, listeners, if someone asks you, what's the true meaning of Easter? What's the true meaning of this weekend? You know, what happened? You know, what's the true meaning of it? You can say,
it ain't no dumb bunny.
Hey, it's not a dumb bunny. Don't say it is a bunny.
No, I said it's not a dumb bunny.
Oh, good. Well, the bunny, I wouldn't say go as far as to say it's dumb, but... but he is right. It's not about the bunny. It's not about the bunny. But the bunny isn't exactly dumb. It is a fantasy. It's a fantasy, but I wouldn't go as far as to say it's dumb. So, you can say, well, on Thursday, you know, we had the Passover. And what happened there? On Friday was when Jesus got nailed to that cross. On that cross, you know, he died for our sins. And you can explain what all that's about. But then Sunday, Jesus arose from the grave at sunrise. So, put on your time zone whenever sunrise is. At sunrise time, I would say that's the best time to be thinking of that he rose from the grave. That's why some of these churches have sunrise services, is to commemorate that. That's why many churches on Good Friday have services at 12 noon. That's to commemorate Jesus being put on the cross at that time. I mean, the darkness came between noon and 3, but what time he was exactly put on the cross, hour and minute, we might not know. We don't know. I'm sure it's been studied maybe a little bit, maybe it hasn't. But and then, like I said, Sunday morning, he was resurrected. I think as those of us who are Christians, it's good to call it Easter, but I think the real proper name should be Resurrection Day. Because that's the day that we remember his resurrection, that he's alive, that he's risen indeed. Amen. And amen and amen and amen for that. Now, got a song for you that I want to sing. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty plains I've heard of on this earth. The only reapproach stands in my defense. Jesus, but it's your blood. What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again. How come it's the friends of God? Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty plains heard of on this earth. It stands in my defense. It's only by your blood. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash me white as snow? What come as the friends of God? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's your blood, it's your blood. It's the blood, it's the blood. It's the blood, it's the blood. King Jesus. Mm-hmm. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you. I thank you tonight, Father God, for this Holy Week, for what it represents. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for that price you paid. That price you paid for us. And what it represents and what you did for us on that cross, and everything it represents for us. You didn't have to do it, but you did it, Jesus, because you loved us. And we give you praise and honor and glory for that. And I thank you that these listeners, if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, they will contact me right now on this show and get right with you. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. And amen, amen. So, time to talk some sports. First off, I want to apologize to you. I made an error last night stating that the Pistons were to play the Bucks on Tuesday night, which was last night. That game is actually tonight in Milwaukee. So, I just wanted to apologize to you for that. Could try to be as truthful as possible. And I really thought it was last night. But no, it is tomorrow night. So, I mean, it is tonight. So, also, in related news, I should also mention that it is now reported that Blake Griffin is listed as day-to-day for the rest of the series. He might play tonight, he might not. I think with a healthy Blake Griffin, a healthy producing Blake Griffin, they could have a chance to win both games that are at the Little Caesars Arena. Probably win one game, at least, with a healthy Blake Griffin. I think they fall tonight, though. Specifically, let me bring back Senaswamy and see what he says. Detroit Pistons at Milwaukee Bucks. Can the Pistons stop the MVP, the MVP player that they got? I know I heard those MVP, MVP, MVP chants that in that stadium the other night. And I was thinking to myself, I wish the Pistons had one of those. Yes, I wish they had one of those, but they don't. Keep in mind, Milwaukee has not won a playoff series since 2001. Our last playoff series win was back in 2008. It's only a 7-year difference, but something to keep in mind. But they rocketed up to the top of the East and the top of the league so quickly. It was just insane to me how they were able to do that. I wonder how they were able to do that. If they have weakness, if they can find weaknesses, I hope the Pistons can just take full advantage of those this series. Some way, somehow. I'm going to pick tonight's game, and I'm going to pick Saturday's game. Tonight, Pistons at Bucks. My pick, actually Son of Swami's pick. Feeling like a million bucks, 96. How'd it work? Million bucks, 96. How'd it work? 80. I mean, 90. Saturday. How'd it work? 96. Feeling like a million. I mean, not feeling like a million. 91. By the way, the Saturday game is at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. So, that is to be considered. Saginaw Spirit are doing great at hockey. They are in their first ever Western Conference semifinals. That begins, I believe, Friday at the Dow Event Center in Saginaw. They're going to be playing Guelph this series in the best of seven, Guelph, Ontario, Canada, because they're in a Canadian league. Guelph is apparently a city in Ontario, Canada. In fact, it is a city in Ontario, Canada, so that's what they're playing. So, good luck to the Saginaw Spirit. No, it's not the Holy Spirit, it's just a hockey team from Saginaw. If the Holy Spirit played hockey, I think he'd just dominate everybody. Oh, yes, he would. Because he's always on target. But good luck to Saginaw. Tigers. They came back to tie it up in the eighth inning last night. And we were so hopeful. And then the ninth inning came. They didn't score any runs. Tenth inning. They give up a run. Fall to Pittsburgh. Four straight losses. 3-2. 3-2, Tigers lose. Tonight they're playing Pittsburgh at home. I hope they're finding a way to kind of the Pirates tonight so they don't get by the Pirates. Instead, because the Pirates' favorite letter is, of course, R. After that, they have another series this weekend. And I think what's done is they're not really spending their money like they should be. They should be spending more money on getting better players. That's it for sports. I speak Psalm 91 over us. I thank you that you'll be with us this Easter weekend as we celebrate your resurrection this weekend. Thank you that we will all put you first and we won't just be all in on ourselves. And I thank you that you'll be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Until Monday, God first, God always. So long, everybody.